For Mazda, the 2018 Mazda plate clearance is all go. And Tyre Power, summer scorcher catalogue sale on now. Breakfast with Kane Corns and Andrew Hayes on SENSA.
Well, we're back. Hazy's finally got control of the computer there in front of me, and we are away.
Put this on me.
In good time, too, because our next guest is one of the good men of football. He's got a pretty important job. Second only in importance behind the coach of an AFL team is the head of high performance at Port Adelaide. They've got a ripper. His name is Ian McEwan. He joins us on the line. Mackers, good morning.
G'day, Vant. How are you doing?
We're very well. Now, it's your second year in charge of high performance, of course, taken over from Darren Burgess, who you had a good relationship with and I'm sure learned a lot from. But how have you settled in? Are you feeling more comfortable in your second year?
Yeah, look, I was speaking to some of the other AFL boys about this as well. Like, you know, every year this time of year, you kind of don't want to be comfortable as much as you feel a little bit more established in the role and you know where the right decisions need to be made. You still want to be on edge. So I'm certainly on edge, and I'll take that as a good sign this time of year as well.
Is part of being on edge the balance of getting enough work into your players, but also not overcooking them so they break down? How hard is that balancing act for you?
Oh, it's incredible. Like, that's, you know, we are trying to get as much into them from a conditioning point of view as possible, but then we've also got to marry that up with, you know, what the coaches want and how, you know, how we've got to set ourselves up to play next year. So, you know, we've got that balance there. And that's before you even start thinking about the injury side of things or the fatigue and the tiredness side of things. And then you've also got, you know, trying to create an environment where guys want to learn, where they want to come to the club, where they, you know, where they feel like, you know, they're being listened to, where they're accountable for what they're doing. So there's a heap of decisions which, you know, I know Virgil cruised through. At times he had obviously great advisors in Kane Corns coming into the office every day to tell him how to do things properly, but you know, or how we used to do it back in the good old days. But you know, that's certainly something that I miss. I don't have you there to do that for me these days. But you know, but there's plenty of lieutenants coming through there. Yeah, they're pretty quick to give me some feedback on what we need to do next.
And I guess it's difficult for you as well because of the list turnover. I mean, probably 8 to 10 new, young, 18, 19-year-old kids coming in. You see a lot of guys go out the door. Is it difficult to learn these young players, their strengths and weaknesses, their injury history from a young age? How hard is that for you, and have you got a grasp of that yet?
Yeah, look, I think we get a fair amount of information. There's no surprises with the, you know, with the drafts and the combine and sort of the whole process these guys go through the year before they come to the club. But, you know, it's probably the 2 months, you know, after a Stanford Grand Final or wherever you get to in your final year of footy before you come to an AFL club, you know, it probably, you know, there's that 2 month period before they come in and we've got to work out what they were doing in that period as much as anything. So, you know, we go slowly, slowly, but it's very hard when you've got a group of exciting young kids coming into the club that have some very, very nice abilities, and you want to get them and you want to showcase them, and they obviously want to showcase themselves as well. So, you know, we try and balance that, and you know, we do everything we can outside of the training ground just to make sure that we keep them right as best we can.
And up off to Noosa, take us through the thought process of that in terms of, I suppose, the training and sports science area, because I'm assuming you're a little bit late. You're not going up there to see Jason Ackermanis fail on the golf course.
Absolutely not. So, well, you know, it's never a surprise that you know, AFL clubs are going in camp, particularly up that direction. You know, I think pretty much everyone's going up there at some stage over pre-season. We're actually into the middle of week 6 already of our pre-season. So, you know, this is the culmination of this work. And, you know, as a wizard will tell you, you know, as we steadily build, you know, this is where we have our big weeks, and we just, you know, we're into week 6, so we want to get away from Adelaide. Get together and train really hard together in a sort of a focused break before Christmas.
Is Kane Corns the wizard? Is that who we're referring to?
He is the wizard, yes. Okay. He's commonly referred to that, and I'll let him explain that one.
Is there a quick story behind that?
We'll do that a little bit later on, because I want to find out about what's the itinerary look like for the guys. Mac, is I'm sure there'll be a lot of hard work, but will they get an opportunity to relax a bit and get some sun as well?
Yeah, I'm actually as excited about the stuff we're doing away as we are from the training. So we're training, you know, we'll do train every other day hard, you know, like we would we would if we were back home. But we'll also do stuff on the days off on those other days around training. And we'll also do a second running session some days as well. Plenty of gym in there as well. So I said, like, this is just a combination of everything. So a nice intense block. It's only 6 days, so you know we've got the chance to get plenty in that period. And then we'll give him half days off, little things in the morning, plenty of time by themselves as well, as around the footy club stuff.
Now, Ian, I threw a few sports science questions at the whiz before, and the head started to shake and the nose almost started to bleed. He had no idea what was going on. Can you tell us, in terms of a sports science point of view, heat training versus altitude training, is heat training still in vogue? And, I mean, what's sports science come up with this week?
Oh, the heat, altitude together, one versus the other, live at altitude and then come down and train. Like, there's so many different variations within this. Pretty much all we're trying to do is make them, you know, make the stress on the body as high as possible with the least amount of cost. So by doing the same amount of work, if you do it at heat or at altitude, you're actually, you know, your systems are having to work harder for the same amount of mechanical load. So, you know, we're talking about the young guys or guys that are coming back from injury. That's a fantastic thing where, you know, we're trying to get as much fitness into the guys from a system point of view with offloading or maybe modifying the actual mechanical load that these guys have to do. So the Ks that they run, you know, the intensity of which they have to run is a little bit less while they still get this massive cost and this fitness effect. So, you know, it goes round in circles and roundabouts, you know, as more research comes out, as these smart guys come up with even more fancy technologies to measure things, to train things. You know, there's always going to be that. But, you know, at this stage, you know, we're just trying to find the right balance between the two. And obviously getting the right amount of mechanical load into the boys as well.
Every year, this time of year in the media, we fuss about who's tearing it up on the track and we're obsessed with numbers, the 2K trial and all that kind of stuff. But I understand you're a man who loves big numbers in the gym. Is there anyone in particular who's lifting seriously big weights? I would have thought back in the day you'd be more impressed with Chad than Kane.
I'm still more impressed than Chad than Kane, to be honest. I think Kane's gym that I've supplied for his house maybe needs the dust knocked off it a little bit. Well, that's what Chad tells me anyway. I'm more of a gym rat than not. So some of the boys are doing fantastically well. You know, it's always the big rigs. It's always the Jonases of the world, the real tough guys. You know, it's hard to get past Bokey. It's hard to get past Jonas and Brad and sort of the more established boys who've obviously been around the program for a little bit longer. You know, but then you've got, you know, these guys coming through, Dougal Howard, Darcy Byrne-Jones, you know, are doing some fantastic things as well. Really exciting.
Mac, is a couple of injured players that we didn't get to see a lot last year. Hartlett was having a great season before he went down at training with the ACL. Can we have an update on him? And I'm sure he's ready to go and can't wait for round one to come around.
Oh, that's exactly it. You know, I think it's obviously devastating considering how well he was playing as well. But, you know, Hartsey's a big part of the club and he's been fantastic through his rehab period. And at this stage, we're just trying to hold them back and making sure we drip them into drills. We've done that this week. You know, we're getting him back in there and we're just trying to make sure that, you know, he ticks off absolutely every box as he gets closer to round one.
And the other one is Matty Broadbent, who it's been a while, and when I was playing, certainly hardly ever missed a training session, but unfortunately for him, just hasn't been able to get his body right. How's he tracking?
Yeah, so he's in the same, he's in back into drills now as well. He's after such a long period of time off, you know, we've got to be so careful with how much we can put him into. He's going to be a slow drip, but he's looking very exciting. He was in the drills. He's in the big drills there on Monday, which was fantastic. The boys love seeing him around. He's obviously one of the most popular boys around the club. And, you know, he's a hell of a footy player. He's still got that grace and that extra second on the ball that you just love to see.
Mate, back onto the weights. So I'm interested in because I know that you just said before you're a bit of a gym rat. The new blokes, the young blokes that have turned up into the gym, have you had to test them? And has it been a little bit, has it been a bit eye-opening for some of the youngsters? Because I'd imagine some of these guys wouldn't test overly well.
Yeah, look, they're slowly getting there. You know, like, you know, the first little while, you know, everything is an eye-opener for these guys. But, you know, I think that the good thing about having such fantastic athletes is, you know, even if they haven't been in the gym for long, or they haven't, you know, they just, their athleticism just shines through. So like they pick things up really, really quickly. You know, for sure it's not going to be massive amounts of weight, but you know, they're moving really, really well, which for me is the biggest thing at that stage. You know, we're trying to make sure that we're setting the foundations for them to be able to, you know, lift these great big weights in the years to come and put on this mass and put on, you know, these, you know, make these Adonises out of these guys, and that's just going to take a long time. And putting these foundations in place from the start is really key.
Oh, Marcus, thanks so much for your time. Enjoy the camp to Noosa. Get the work into the boys. Make sure they work hard, but also put the feet up and have a relax as well. And have a great Christmas, mate. Always good to catch up.
Yeah, thanks, Matt. All the best, guys.
Ian McEwan, one of the best. He's the Port Adelaide High Performance Manager. Pretty important job, Hazy. And as I said, some may not know, but the second most important person at a footy club behind the coach.
Absolutely, and he's the bloke who's going to get blamed if there's any type of injuries, any form
That's
stuff.
It.
The blokes look a little bit sluggish.
Well, it's a high-pressure job, isn't it?
Absolutely. Kane, the reason I asked him before about the new blokes testing and everything, do you remember your first days back at Port Adelaide?
It was a bit different back then. It wasn't as professional, and they weren't probably across every measurement, every lift that you've done, every skin fold measurement. It was professional, but not like it is today, but it is hard for guys to go in there, and some of them struggle to bench press 60 kilos, and you've got Charlie Dixon pushing out probably 140 by three. It's a difficult one. Did you cop that in your successful time at the Sydney Swans?
Mate, in my illustrious zero-game career at Sydney Swans, I remember it was over 2 days. You got tested, bench press, all sorts of things. There was a young bloke by the name of Tim Schmidt.
Schmidty.
Who you might know. Played about 20-odd games for the Swans. I would say ripping bloke. One of the best kicks I've ever seen in my life. Unbelievable on both sides.
You're
anyway,
him up.
I am pumping up because I'm about to smash him. I need to pump him up. So we had to do the chin-up test, and that exposes you, doesn't it?
So just as many as you can do.
As many as you can do. So I reckon I got 4, and that wasn't too bad. Oh, geez, I don't reckon you could get four now. Have a look at you.
I could get strict. I could easily get 10 now.
Okay.
And we might even test that out.
Yes, let's do that. Actually, you're a fly, so you'd be able to.
You're in the prime of your footy career, weighing in at probably, I don't know, 90 kilos, and you can only do 4 chin-ups.
That is
embarrassing.
No, when you first get to the club and as a youngster and you've never... Oh, Studley, I reckon he could too. He's such a machine. You've never done weights before in your life.
Oh, okay.
Anyway, so I did 4, and it wasn't that bad. Some of the blokes got 6. One bloke got 10, and we were like, ooh. Anyway, it's time for Tim Schmidt to have it.
Schmidty.
So Schmidty jumped up there. And Schmidty's a young bloke. He had a bit of puppy fat onto him, so... And certainly wasn't blessed with natural strength. So Schmidty jumped up there, hanging onto the bars. All right, Schmidty, let's go.
Let it rip.
Okay, mate, when you're ready.
Tell me you got one.
And then falls off the bar. So Schmidty registered 0 chin-ups.
That's embarrassing.
Tough.
Schmidty, I'm just
that is tough.
Googling him now. He doesn't even come up in Google.
And it didn't take him long as well before he got very, very fit and he could do some very good things. But 0 chin-ups.
Get involved.
Like if you kick
your
a footy.
Embarrassing fitness story, have you say, 1300 SEN, 1300 736 736. Port Adelaide fans, what do you think? How do you feel about the season, and are you excited about getting Broadbent, perhaps Hartlett back into the lineup this year? Have your say on that. We are SENSA, your brand new home of sport, and we'll be with you through until 8:30 this morning.
Kane Corns Volcano is going to happen next. By all reports, you're going to absolutely go nuts. Looking forward to that. We are doing it thanks to Mazda. The 2018 Mazda plate clearance is all go, and Tyre Power Summer Scorcher catalogue sale on now. SENSA Breakfast with Kane Corns and Hazy, 7:37.